As we look at Hosea today, everyone loves a love story. I don't necessarily need to put that pun in there. We aspire and anticipate the happily ever after ending. And if you don't believe that's true, just check and if you have it on your cable or however you get your TV, look at how many Hallmark channels there are. You know, I know they do mysteries and all those things, but they have love stories. The book companies will tell you they still sell lots and lots of romance novels. Love stories have been popular for as long as man has been around. And Hosea is a love story. It has some stuff in there that isn't the greatest, but there is still a love story. And the song He Is that I use for the inspiration for our series called Jesus Is, Jesus is described as forever faithful, or the faithful husband. As we look at Hosea, it shares a Hebrew root with the names of Joshua and Jesus. Hosea, by itself, translates as salvation. Joshua and Jesus both translate as God is salvation. So if we think of the love story, we really are thinking about relationships and all that comes into being with relationships. And I'd like for you to think about relationships this morning. I'm going to ask you about a few. And as I ask you about each one, I want you to score in your mind. You don't have to hold up your hand or point, you know, do your numbers there. Keep it to yourself. But I'd like to ask you a relationship score of 1 being poor and 5 being great. 1 is poor, 5 is great. And for those of you who are still working and those of you who did work out in somewhere, how's your relationship score with your supervisor? 1 or 5? Someone held up his hand for 5. Great. How about your coworkers? 1 or 5? Or somewhere in between. You don't have to choose the spectrum, either end. For those of you who are married, how about your spouse? 1 or 5? Or somewhere in between? Those with children, even grown adult children, how's your relationship? 1, 5, somewhere in between. If your parents are still living, how's that relationship? If you're not an only child, you have siblings, how's that relationship? And here's a really important one for you to think about today. How about your relationship with God? Is it 1, poor, or 5, great? Or is it somewhere in between? God tells Hosea that his real life issues are similar to his relationship with Israel. They're not completely accurate metaphors, but they're there nonetheless as we read through Hosea. In the first 3 chapters, we see a husband-wife relationship, God being the husband and Israel being the wife, and God's a little upset that Israel is looking to other gods rather than him. In chapters 4 through 11, we see a parent-child relationship as we see politics and cults involved in what transpires there. And in the last 3 chapters, 12 through 14, we find there's some combination of the adulterous wife and the rebellious son as it relates to the people of Israel and their relationship with God. One comment as I was preparing for today's sermon, I ran across one guy's comment. He said, when you read through Hosea, parts of it almost could be a script for a Jerry Springer show. You know, it really could be. In 1929, there was a play written entitled The Marriage of Hosea. And the byline to it was a passion play. And it certainly is a lot of passion in what was going on in Hosea, in his life, and how God said that related to his relationship with the people of Israel. That play, The Marriage of Hosea, is about a cheating wife and how her husband deals with it. And we read about that in the first 3 chapters of Hosea. And the conclusion of a husband and adulterous wife metaphor we find in chapter 3 of Hosea. Would you please stand as we honor the reading of God's word? The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way toward you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. The word of God for the people of God. When we look at just Hosea's life, especially in those first two chapters, especially in chapter 2, if you were to read, there's stuff going on in there that today a husband would be arrested for, and rightly so, ought to be arrested for. It's an abusive chapter. And so we just want to be very clear that it's not talking about how one ought to act in the middle of a husband-wife relationship, but it does talk about how God wants his people to react to the love that he has for them. When we read Hosea in its entirety and in all its context, we find that, like Christ, Hosea demonstrates the working of repentance, redemption, and restoration. We see the gospel in Hosea working itself out. We see repentance. You know, we don't know much about Gomer's feelings or her decisions. When we read in chapters 1 and 2, we just find that Hosea has been instructed by God to marry a promiscuous woman. He knew it right from the start. She had children. Some Bible scholars said, we're not so sure Hosea's the father. Could be a different father for each of the three children that are mentioned in those first couple chapters. We find Hosea being instructed to try to win her back, to punish her in some way, to bring her back, much as God does with his people of Israel. But we don't know about her and how she felt about all this. We do know that one of the actions there in chapter 2, the hope was that she would say to herself that, boy, I'd be better off getting back to my husband. We see that in the last part of verse 7 in chapter 2. It reminded me of the prodigal son we read about in Luke 15. In chapter 15 of Luke, where he, you know, went out on his own and sowed his oats and found himself in desperate situations. And as he was slopping with the pigs, whatever they were eating, he was eating. He thought, you know what, I'd be better off as a servant at my father's house. And that's what prompted him to go back. Most of Jesus' teaching continued the message that John the Baptist, preacher that came ahead of him, the one crying out in the wilderness, John the Baptist's message was one of repentance. And when we read through Jesus' teachings, it's still centered around that message of repentance. And maybe it didn't use that word. Maybe it wasn't, you know, we get involved in church and we start throwing all these church words out. But the idea behind repentance is that there is a way that God would have us to go. And separate from his way is whatever way we've decided to go. And some folks have to make a whole 180-degree turn to head towards God's way. They're heading in a whole separate direction. And repentance means I agree that God has the right way and that I should make whatever turn I need to make to head in his direction. That's what repentance in the spiritual biblical teaching is. Now, for most people, it's not 180 degrees. There are those who are, and I've seen some who have completely changed and gone that way. Most of us are in some fashion here. Some of us aren't that far off. But we're still not going where God says to go. And we need to have that attitude of repentance and coming back into that relationship that God would have us to be in. And that's the concern that God had for the people of Israel here in Hosea. That is the love and concern that Hosea had for his relationship with his wife. That they'd be on the same path. And that relationship would be what it needed to be. Repentance is a beginning point for the gospel message. It's the acknowledgement that wherever direction we're heading needs to be in the direction God is going. And we repent. We turn away from our sin, which is anything that is against what God has said and instructed. We repent of our sin. We say it's wrong. We agree with God, and we start moving in His direction. But not only do we have repentance, another big church word is redemption. Although redemption is used outside of church, we don't hear it as much. Anybody redeem a coupon? That's what they call it, redeem a coupon. Read the little small print on the back, you know. It can be redeemed at participating stores. You know, in verse 2 of our scripture today, Hosea buys Gomer from the pool of prostitutes and slaves that are presented at auction. He was able to buy her. He was able to redeem her. And just as Hosea did for her, Christ redeemed us on the cross. His act of dying and shedding His blood, that shedding of the blood, as we read in other places in the New Testament, and it shares with us that we are redeemed. He redeemed us from the penalty of sin, from the wrath of God. We find forgiveness, complete forgiveness, for past, present, and future sin. Jesus Christ redeemed us. But we need to do our side of it. The coupon, they print millions of those coupons. Because they're hoping that a small percentage of you, they're hoping one of two things. That a small percentage of people will ever redeem them. Because if they all came back, woo, they'd be out some discounted money there. But the other reason is they want you to try their product. And if that coupon will get you to try it, then they've met their purpose as well. And then they're hoping you'll buy regular price from that point on. Someone can write you a check, and if you never deposit it or redeem it, not worth much. One of my sermon points, I didn't do it here, but one of my sermon points while I was pastor at Dillsboro back in the middle 90s, I actually wrote a real check for $1,000 and held it up and almost dared someone to come up and get it. And Toby, who sits about where Randy sits now in Dillsboro, he almost ran up the aisle and took that check out of my hand. I saw him a couple years ago, ran into him, he said, "I still got that check." I said, "Well, good luck, because Ripley County Bank closed a long time ago." He never got the $1,000 because he never redeemed the check. And there's probably other metaphors we can use with that. If one has never come to the cross of Jesus and accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you've never cashed in on the redemption that He provides, the forgiveness that His blood provides us, and complete forgiveness. I can't stress that enough. That blood is sufficient for all my past, all my present, because there'll be some today, and all my future sins, because there'll be some tomorrow. I'm hoping there's a whole lot less than there were yesterday and years ago. But Jesus' blood covers it all and redeems us from the penalty of sin. And in that redemption, we are restored. The relation is put where it ought to be, in a relationship of restoration. That's what happened with Hosea and Gomer. Here in chapter 3, restoration came to the relationship of husband and wife. And God shares just like that, "Hosea, there'll be a day when I'll be restored with my people. My people will be restored to me. They'll see the error of their ways and seek out repentance. They'll understand there's been a redemption, that I've made a way of redemption for them, and restoration will take place." Jesus restores our relationship with Him and the Father. Scripture is very clear. When we come to Jesus, when we accept Him, we become children of God. Paul writes, it's like a legal adoption. We have every right as a child born into the family of God. We have the same rights. In fact, Paul even writes, we don't quite understand what has to be explained to. When I first heard this, this is cool. And I know I've shared it before, but it bears repeating. Paul says, we have become the children of God in such a fashion that when we come to Him, might sound a little odd, but when we come to Him in prayer, we have the right to call Him Daddy. I know we want to do it the churchy way, you know, "Our Father." And we can do that. That's very respectful. But the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father as children of God. Paul says we can call him Abba, Father, which Abba translated for us in English would be Dad or Daddy, that more familiar name. I was talking with my mom the other night and Grandpa came up in some way. And she still calls him Daddy. We have the right to come before God the Father and say, Daddy, I'm having some issues. Daddy, I want this relationship. And not only for us as individuals, collectively, we are the bride of Christ, the bridegroom, the church, because Jesus has restored our relationship with him and with the Father. God's love is relentless. Pastor Christian Chong preached a sermon, Hosea, Relentless Love. And a couple points he drove home, you know, God's love never changes and God's love never gives up. It doesn't matter what we do. His love is still there. And I know I've shared it twice, but I'm going to share it a third time. His love is there and it doesn't give up on us no matter what we do, because if we've been redeemed, Jesus' blood covers our past sin and our present sin and our future sin. God's love doesn't stop. It is relentless. God's love never gives up no matter where we run. Yeah, we know God wants us to go that way. We've been going that way or anyway, but his way. But his love never gives up, despite how stubborn we are. You ought to read how many times in the Old Testament. I don't know what Hebrew word it was, but it's translated in most English translations as a stiff-necked people. Stubborn. Yeah, I know I'm going that way. Yeah, God's way's a good way, but you know, I think I'm all right. No. God still loves us, and he never gives up on us. Jesus loves us with a relentless, faithful love, even if we don't reciprocate. I know many of you heard this story. It's an old, old story about a husband and wife who later on in their marriage and getting up there in years, you can pick whatever year you want to, but they decide they'd go hit the grocery store one Friday evening and grab some things they wanted for the weekend. And as they're driving home, they come up to the traffic light. And right in front of them is a young couple, obviously out on a date. And she's right up against him, her head laying on her shoulder, on his shoulder, I mean. And the wife looked at that young couple ahead of them. She said, I remember when we were like that. And the husband turned and looked at her and said, I haven't moved. God's love never changes and never gives up. And if we're wondering about our relationship with him, I would share with you today that he's never moved. I ask you to score yourself 1 to 5 or somewhere in between in your relationship with God. And perhaps you think it's a 1. You're hugging the door on the other side of the car. God says, I haven't moved. If you want it to be a 5, why don't you come over here and sit right next to me. Let me hold you tight. Let me reinforce with you that I love you and that you can call me Daddy. The gospel is in Hosea. Jesus is in Hosea. Shall we pray? Father God, we don't always fully understand the relationship that you desire with each and every human being you created. And Father, remind each of us, including me, that if I can't score a 5 when I think of my relationship with you, that's probably me who's not where I ought to be. For your love never changes. It's always pursuing. You always want that relationship with us. Father, as we work on that, as we look at the things in our lives that will get us closer to you, and we change those things and begin to walk in your way, help us to always give you honor and glory and praise for what you're doing in our life and the direction you're taking us in here on this planet Earth into our home eternal as well. We thank you for the examples we see throughout the Old Testament. We thank you for Hosea and Gomer's example today and how you tried to show through Hosea and his wife the relationship that you want with your people. And you ultimately made it possible through your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his willingness to die for us, that we might repent and be redeemed and be restored. In his name we pray. Amen.